Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1.
But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?
Now, if you remember, last week we learned all people in one mind together start building the walls. We learned that goldsmith, perfume makers, even the rich people, ordinary people, and everybody together were building, and they were very happy. No hindrance, nobody gave them any hard time, and now they are halfway building. All the walls joined together, all the gates were fitly together, and now they're happy and joyful. All of a sudden, the enemy comes. When you're doing something good, doing something for the Lord, you are so joyful, all of a sudden, the enemy comes to take your joy. The Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord, and I say again, rejoice. The devil doesn't want you to rejoice. Devil brings some kind of hindrance in your Christian walk. Here we see this man. They were already mad from the beginning. But now when they saw the walls are coming up, the gates are already done, and this man was very angry. Why people get angry and jealous? Somebody is doing good. They were not doing any problem to him. They were minding their business. They were building their own city. Why somebody has to be so jealous? You can see today, if anything good Israeli people they do, Muslim people don't like it. Or if you are a Christian and progressing in your job and you have a good house, a good car, good children, and everything going good for you, other people are jealous. Not only jealous, they want to destroy you. They want to rob you. They want to do something harm to you and make you miserable. And sometimes people say, Christian people, they are good people. That's the time people bother them. If you burn one Quran, all the Muslims will try to kill you. So nobody bothers Muslims. But they can kill Christians. They can burn the churches. They can do any harm to Christians. Nobody says anything. So this is what these people thought. The Jewish people, he said, why these Jewish feeble people coming here? Means they are thinking they are very winkling. They have no strength. They have no power. They are already under some king. They have no king. They have no money. They have nothing. They are our slaves. And now these people are doing all these things. If you remember, Israeli people, when they came out of Egypt, the Word of God says when they got this sacrifice and blood offering and put the doorpost, the sign of the blood on the top on the both side, and when they ate the lamb, and the Word of God says when they came out of Egypt, not a one single feeble person among them. What happened? All people got healed. All people got strength and power because they had to go for journey. So God knows He gives you feeble-minded strength and power when you serve the Lord. People are sick and afflicted and all kinds of sickness and disease. Who brings this? The enemy brings it. But God can give you strength and power as you serve Him. The people of God, they can run, they can walk, they can do all kinds of things, but Word of God said they won't be weary, they won't be tired, they will be doing the work. Now, these people are working hard. When they're working hard, some of the people, when you work 12 hours, naturally you will feel tired. But when you get a good night's sleep, next day, you are strong again. That's the way God made our body. When you get some rest, and when you work, next day, you get refreshed. That's the way God does. Now, these people, they saw enemy, the Israeli people building the walls. So he got angry, mad. Not only that, he said, I'm going to talk to my brother. And now he's not alone. He's talking to his brother. And then he's going to the army, Samaritan army. And he says, we have to do something. So he is making his brother enemy. Then he making all this army going against Israeli people and try to destroy them. So they are already planning. And he asked 5 questions what these people are doing. They're coming and building the house, or building this building. They are feeble. They have no strength. And they are going to bring this wall to be strong and everything. So he is frustrated. And he wants to destroy the Israeli people. Verse 3.
Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity.
Now, when the Israeli people heard this, they were mocking, they were trying to make fun of them. One of the person, he says, you know what? They build this building, but just the fox goes up on that building or wall, it will fall apart. Did you see any fox going 50 feet or 100 feet? I don't see any foxes going. Foxes makes hole, they crawl. I don't think they go that high. He would have said, if the fly sits, it will be broken down. So this is what the language people use to discourage you, saying that you doing something is not strong. It's not going to last. The fox will just jump on it or walk on it, and it will be completely destroyed. And so the Israeli people got mad, and they said, Lord, you hear this. When the enemy comes like a flood, what you do? When you know that you don't have a strength, these people were handful people. They just coming little bit by little bit coming to this their land. And enemies are all around. Even that these people got the permission from the king, but still these people are not thinking the king is their side. But they are using the tactic to scare you. The word of God says the devil is what? Like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he thinks that he's a lion and he wants to destroy you. But once you know, we have the Lion of Judah. We have the strong ones with our side. We don't have to be afraid. So these people gathered together and said, Lord, hear, Lord, what these people are doing. They are not doing anything wrong to us. They are doing to you. You remember that David, when Goliath was standing and he's blaspheming, and he starts saying, he is blaspheming against God. So we can take care of him. Because he's not our enemy, but he's God's enemy. So when somebody is going against God, they are not going to win. Anyone goes against God, they are losers. So he's just saying, Lord, you heard these things. And then he says, now, whatever they're doing against us, you punish them. Even though if they repent or something, don't listen to them, don't forgive them, just destroy them. Completely destroy, and that's the kind of prayer he's doing. Today we cannot do that kind of prayer. If you read in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, please read.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
This is the teaching of the New Testament. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If they have need, you give them. Don't overcome with evil, but overcome with good. We are Christian people, but the Jewish people, they had a law. They had a law, tooth for tooth, eye for eye. You have to destroy the enemy. And so he's praying, Lord, we want this enemy to be destroyed. Read the verse 5.
Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders.
Now he says, don't even forgive them, because they are against us. But just like we read in Romans chapter 12, Jesus Christ says, when the enemy comes against you, you don't go and destroy them, but you just thank God. Let's read the Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
See, this is the New Testament teaching. If somebody coming and doing anything against us, we should be praying for them. We should be thanking, we should be praising God. Thank God that I got a chance to suffer for the Christ's sake. How many people do that? Well, Christian people do not think that we have our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit with us, and they will fight for us. We don't have to fight enemy, because God is going to fight for us. We have to learn to depend on God. You cannot depend on your strength, your power. Some people say, I have a good lawyer. If you're fighting, say, talk to my lawyer. And so they think the lawyer is good, the judge is good, or somebody will protect them. But if God is not with you, you cannot do anything. But if God is with you, then you have majority. Don't look at the enemy. Don't look at the problem. Look into Jesus Christ, who is the one going to give us grace and protect us. These people are scared. They are saying, Lord, you know this. You're going to destroy them. You punish them. Don't forgive them. Even though they ask forgiveness, don't forgive them, because we want those people to be completely destroyed. But we want our enemy to get saved. God can save our enemies. I heard the other day, the Saudi Arabia's prince, his son, got saved, became a Christian. So we believe that enemies can be come to Christ, and they can be transformed, and they can win many souls when they come to Jesus Christ. But the Jewish law was different, and our law is different. Why I'm saying this, if somebody reads this, they say, this is what the Bible says, and this is what we should be praying. This is what we should be talking to God and destroy our enemy. Enemy will be always with us. We have to pray for them. We have to bring them to Christ. We cannot get mad and angry. The Word of God says rejoice. When we get the chance to, you know, somebody is harassing us, how many people rejoice? It's not joyful, but you should say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have given me chance to suffer for your sake. The Word of God says, God has not gave you just faith to just believe in him, but you should suffer for his sake. Believing is easy, but suffering is hard. We have to believe Jesus Christ came from heaven. He died for me. He suffered for me. I will suffer for him. Jesus Christ shed the last drop of blood for you. What are we doing for him? People say salvation is free. You don't have to do anything. I tell you, nothing is free. Salvation is not free. He shed his blood. The Word of God says he purchased you with his own blood. And it doesn't come free. Some people are saying, Jesus Christ shed his blood and whole world is saved. Is it? No. You have to do something. You have to receive it. You have to believe it. The Word of God says if you don't, you will be condemned. And you're already condemned if you don't believe what the plan of salvation is. So the salvation is not free. The God has opened the door for us that he said, I send the Son. When you are committing sin, you are sinners. My Son died for you, but you have to do something. You have to receive him. You have to ask him forgiveness. You have to say, come into my heart. Jesus Christ can stand at the door and he said, I'm knocking at your door. But if you don't open, he's not coming. So Jesus Christ, or the Lord, does not give salvation by force. He has provided salvation. We have to receive it. We have to acknowledge, this is what God has done, and I'm going to receive it. If you don't receive it, you'll not get it. So salvation is not free. Somebody says it's free. It's not free. It paid for you, and you have to receive it. If somebody, millionaire, comes and says, I'm going to give $1,000 each, and he's standing there and giving $1,000 each, you're sitting at home, do you think you're going to get it? No, you have to go. You have to ask for it. You have to request. Now, there are so many privileges you have in our government. But if you don't ask for it, they don't give it to you. So many privileges you have. So point I'm making, everything God has given to us, freely given, but you have to receive it. If you don't receive it, you won't get it. So we learn something. If you have some problem, you go to God. God is your source. Our God is greater than anybody else. So I have nothing to worry. I'm not looking at people and getting scared. My God is great God. My God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God is almighty. And I have to trust in him. So we have to learn not to taking the Old Testament examples. And the Bible says this, so I'm going to pray like this. That we give it to the Lord. God knows everything. But sometime you have to use God-given power. You know the Paul? One person keep on bugging him. He said, make him a blind for a season. That person became blind. It works. But most of the time, pray for those people. If you start zapping everybody and killing everybody, we want anybody to get saved. So here the word of God is saying, your enemy comes to attack you or harass you, just rejoice and pray for them, and God will bless us. Okay, let's go to the Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6.
So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work.
Now here it is saying, people had mind to work. See what happens later. Please read verse 7.
But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them.
When Nehemiah and his people, they heard it, they said, Lord, we are going to pray. First of all, he said, now you zap them, you kill them, you destroy them, you punish them, and you don't forgive them. But he said, that's not enough. We are going to pray and keep watch on those people. So he gathered all these people and said, this is what the enemy is going to do. So we have a plan. We are going to pray first. I don't know, he called everybody to pray or just the elder and Nehemiah prayed. But they said, we prayed to God. And when we prayed, and they said, keep watch. The word of God says, watch and pray. And a couple of people I heard, the Christian people, they're joking. They said, I was keeping my eyes, one eyes closed, and keeping my one eyes on my girlfriend and praying. That's not the way God said, watch and pray. They said, enemy will come against you, so you have to be alert. You pray that Jesus Christ is coming, but the hindrance will be there. The enemy will be there. So these people say, we were praying, and at the same time we put the watch. We got the all the people say, we are going to be alert right now. Because up to now we thought everything is okay. But now we have enemies. So we are going to watch what the enemy's tactic is. Verse 10.
And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall."
Now see, all of a sudden the Judah comes and say, "You know what? We have a problem. So much rubbish all around, and our people are already tired and weary." Indirectly he says, "We cannot work. That's too much work. All the piles of, because when you're building the wall and all the rubbish is there, they have to clean up everything and then they can work." But they said, "We are so tired. We have no strength." So indirectly, he doesn't want to say the enemies are coming and they are going to destroy us. So that's why our people are scared and they cannot work. You know, any bad news you hear, what happens? You get scared, not only scared, your strength goes off. You don't feel like doing anything because all of a sudden the shock comes to your spirit. Your spirit is low, your body cannot do anything. Your mind doesn't work. If somebody goes to hospital, I heard it, this is not a joke. One man, maybe 150 or 300 pounds, very solid man, and he went to the hospital for checkup. And he was healthy. And they said, "Oh, you have a leukemia." All of a sudden, he collapsed. He never thought that I will have leukemia. And they start doing drug and this and that. Finally, they found out he did not have a leukemia. Now see, that if that person comes and says, "Oh no, you know what? We made a mistake. Maybe we are checking somebody's blood or your blood and some got mixed up," and you do not have the leukemia. The point I'm making, the time he hears, all the strength is gone. And now they are doing treatment, he is weak. But when he hears, "You know what? We made a mistake. You don't have a leukemia." What happened? All of a sudden you get strength and power. That's what happens. The enemies brings all kinds of devices. The point I'm making, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the greatest doctor, greatest physician, he never lost the case, he can do it. If you dedicate your life to God, you will live. That's what people do. If there is nothing they can do, and that's the time, say, "Lord, I'm going to work for you." If somebody has a 4 or 5 children and one person is disabled or something, we'll give him to the Lord. And he will serve the Lord. When you have money, you give the bad dollar who nobody takes. I'll put it in the offering. God says, "Can you give the lame or sick animal to governor or president?" No. Then how can you give those kind of offering to me? The word of God says, give best to God. When God called me, I said, "Lord, I want to serve you in my youth." My boss said, "Oh, you are too young to go." I said, "No, sir. I have to serve the Lord when I'm young." The word of God says, remember your Lord in your youth. And that's why I gave my youth. And by the grace of God, I'm doing fine. So the point I'm making, when you hear the bad news, your heart fails. You have no strength. Then you can give billion excuses. That's what the Judah is saying. Too much rubbish, or people are tired, they're weary, they cannot do the work. It's a lot of work. Let's go back to the Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11.
And our adversary said, "They shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease."
Now again they said, "You know what the enemy is saying? We are coming secretly, we'll come among you people, and we will kill you." Means, whoever the working will come, not one person, so many people will come in their congregation or come there when they're doing the job, and we will kill you. And you will not notice that we are among you. What you will do then? This is what the enemy does. He lives among you, he works with you, and they kill you. You saw that man working in the military and killing all the military officers. He said, "I'm with you. I'm just like you." And then he's destroying. Same tactic. They said, "We'll come secretly. You will never notice us. and we will kill you, and then your work will stop. Now just think, if somebody's working there, they were young people and old people and everybody's working, and this news comes and somebody tells you this is what the enemy is going to do, how are you going to work? Discouragement. Let's read the verse 12.
And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence he shall return unto us, they will be upon you.
Now again another bad news coming. Some Jewish people living in the enemy's territory, they said, we hear what they say. What they say, that they are going to come and they are going to destroy you. And how many times they are giving this news? 10 times bad news they are giving to us. They are going to destroy us. You remember when these Israeli people went to spy the country? And 10 people gave the bad news. And two people gave the good news. And they said, we can defeat those people because God is with us. 10 other people say, oh no, we look like grasshopper. Those people are giant. They are going to kill us. So what happened? All those 10 people destroyed the minds of all the Israeli people. And they said, we are not going to go. Because of that, how many years they had to suffer? 40 years in the wilderness. 40 days they went to spy the land. Now they have to suffer for 40 years. This is what the enemy is doing. Enemy coming and he says, not one time, 10 times give the bad news. If you don't listen, listen again, listen again, listen again. 10 times give the bad news and telling, we are going to kill you, we are going to destroy you, and you will not notice that we're killing your people. And we get scared. Now sometimes you get the swine flu, different kinds of flu, and people get scared. And they said, now there is no even vaccine. Some of the vaccine is finished, some of the vaccine is bad, and people get heart attack. Before they can get the medicine, they die. Fear can kill you. But I'm not worried about vaccine. I never took one vaccine yet, and I'm not looking for one, because we have the vaccine, the blood of Jesus Christ. We got the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood has no sickness, no disease, no weakness, nothing. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that sign they put? And it says the death angel came and said, oh, Passover. He cannot kill us because the blood of Jesus Christ. You know the devil wanted to kill the Job. What did he say? Lord, I cannot do anything because you put the hedge and protection over Job. I cannot do anything. Devil has to get a permission from the Lord to do something. God is not going to give permission to enemy. If you are with him, you working for him, we don't have to worry, because our God is a great God. See the tactic they are using? Fear is opposite of faith. That's what the word of God says. God has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but he has given us a power, love, and sound mind. When you have sound mind, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be shaken. Whatever the bad news devil gives, you tell the devil, I have the good news. The word of God says, Isaiah 53, verse 1, you read, who has believed our report? Now, what is that report? Then read further. Verse 1 to verse 5. When you read that report, the report said that Jesus Christ came, he took your sickness, he took your sorrow, he took your disease on the cross, and with his stripes, you are healed. That's the report. Which report you are going to listen? Doctor told you got a cancer? Or you receive the report, Jesus said, I took the cancer on the cross. Which report you listen? I tell the people, listen the report of God. God has already provided. Some people said, if Jesus Christ provided the healing 2,000 years ago, why the Christian people are sick? Let me tell you, the Christian people are sick because they are receiving that sickness. The Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy comes to you, what do you say? He says, resist the enemy. And what? He will flee. When the cold comes, you sneeze. Ach! Oh, I'm going to get a cold. You will get a cold because you invited. But if you say, I sneeze, my lungs are getting clear. I'm getting better. I'm getting strong. Do you know that the boy was dead and he sneezed 7 times? The man of God supposed to say he's dying. He was dead and he sneezed 7 times. So the sneezing is not a disease. Somebody says if you sneeze, oh, God bless you. Maybe thinking you're going to get a heart attack or something. We cannot get the bad news. You rebuke the bad news. Any bad news they give, you tell them, I have a good news. Already good report. And somebody says, why Christians are sick? As I already told you, they're receiving it. Now somebody gives me the package in Christmas time. Beautiful package. It's not my name there. And so a postman says, this is yours. I supposed to say, this name is not mine. But I say, oh, postman gives me, I'll take it. And then there was a bomb. What would happen? It'll be destroyed. So it's better to say it's not my package. I don't need it. Even though it's beautiful, wrapped, and looks like a gold inside, it's not mine. When the devil brings the sickness, what do you say? It's not mine. It's somebody else's. Because Jesus Christ died for me, he took my sickness, sin, disease on the cross. Christian people believe one thing. They believe Jesus Christ died for my sin and he forgave me. So now I cannot go to Rama, Krishna, or Buddha or any other God because he took my sin. And so you don't go on looking for somebody to forgive your sin. Why can't you believe the same way? He died for me. He took my sickness, disease on the cross, and with his stripes I'm healed. It's so difficult to believe. You believe that your sins are forgiven. Why can't you believe your sins and sickness and diseases also taken by Jesus Christ? Once you have that faith, then you don't have to worry about anything. Somebody says, is that possible? Everybody can live like that. Why not? All Jesus' disciples, they live like that, isn't it? Did you hear any disciple went to doctor? Paul, somebody, oh, Paul had the doctor with him. Who was his doctor? Luke. Did you see anywhere Paul saying, you know what? I was sick and Luke came to help me and he gave me medicine. No word. Jesus lived 33 and a half years on this earth. Did he go to doctor? No. Oh, why we are worried then? Oh, that time the world was not that polluted. Now it's more polluted now. The world is polluted, the water is polluted, the food is polluted, everything is polluted. What the Bible says, when you take your food, pray over it. And he said, I will sanctify it. Even the poison somebody gives you, you put your hand and pray that poison will not hurt you. Somebody said, oh, I'm going to try the poison today. It doesn't work that way. If somebody is giving you by force, I was preaching the gospel and here was Hindu man comes and he says, you preaching about Jesus Christ in front of me? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll give you something to drink. I said, I'll come back and then drink. No, 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 no. You have to drink right now, otherwise we'll let you go. And he gave me the big jar, like a 16 ounce of water. I said, give me anything. And he's going behind me. There is another brother with me, he saw. He put some powder, mix it, and he gave it to me. That brother was a Malayali. And so I'm in Gujarat. So he talked to me in Malayalam. He says, please don't drink that because that's a poison I saw. I said, sir, book of Mark chapter 16. It says if somebody gives you deadly poisonous things, it will not harm you. So you are a believer, I'm a believer, pray for me, and I will not die. So I took that and drank the last drop. And I said, can I go now? He said, go. Now, that person was with me who was a civil engineer. And there was another engineer sick, so we went to his house to pray. So I told these people, now it's 7:30, I'll be back here 9:30 because I have to go and pray for somebody. And so we were going. We went there, prayed for that man, and we came back. What happened? These people were camping there for 6 months, and they were raising funds to build the temple. Not a single person was there. They ran for their life. This time, this brother says, Pastor Peter, now I know it's what's a poison. Let's go and take this out from your body. I said, sir, it's 2 hours past, and I didn't die. So I'm not going to die. I did not go to the hospital. The point I'm making, everything is polluted, everything is bad, food is bad, water is bad. Pray. Pray for your food. God will sanctify it. And God will keep you healthy. Why are we living in this world? Somebody says, oh, I want to do this. I have a goal. I have to do this thing. I have to do this thing. I have to do. So many goals you have. And all of a sudden you get sick and die with a heart attack. Your goals are all gone. 10 years, 15 years, you have some goals. When you get a heart attack, what do you do? All the goals are gone. But I tell people, if God heals you, what are you going to do? I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to testify. I'm going to preach. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Why God has to kill you? If you want to serve the Lord, God wants people to serving Him. So you will be living longer. Do you know the John, who was the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ? They tried to kill him. Finally, they boiled the oil. Can you imagine? When you boil the water and oil, oil is much more hot. And they put him in the boiling oil. And he didn't die. So they said, we cannot do anything with this guy. Get out of here. And they sent him to Patmos. And there he wrote the Revelation, book of Revelation. The point I'm making, if God wants to keep you, nobody can kill you. No disease, no sickness, no disease, or nobody can kill you. You have to believe I'm living for God. God can give you grace. The same way people come and say, I don't have a job. I ask them a question. Did you give any tithes to God when you worked previously? Oh, no. Would you give your tithes and offering? What tithe? Tithe is not a $5 or $2. Tithe means 10%. So if you give 10% to the Lord, God will bless you and give you a job. What happened? God gives them a job. When you are working and then somebody says, but in my work there are so many people are getting fired. Why are you worried? You're giving to God and God wants people to give. So your job will be secure. Or you get a better job. So the point I'm making, when you dedicate your life to God, God protects you, God supplies you, and God will use you for His glory. Okay, let's go back to our chapter, verse 13. Nehemiah 4:13.
Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses.
See what he's trying to say? He says, you know, the enemies are coming, but be strong. Keep the weapon with you, and the enemy will run away. And not only that, he's saying, all these people who are working together, he says, what we're going to do, the enemy is saying, going to kill you, but he says, God is going to protect you. He will protect you, your wife, your daughter, your children, your house, and everything God will protect. Enemy says, I'm going to destroy. He said, no, God is going to protect you. How God protects you? I just said a few minutes ago. When you give your tithes, your job is secure. When you love the Lord and say, I'm going to live for God, He will protect your health. So God is there to protect us. No enemy has power. If you read in the Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. If you read from 8, he says, you rob me. But he said, how can we rob you? He said, you're robbing me with the tithes and offerings. Let's read 10 to 11.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
This is what God says. If you give your 10%, I will open the heavenly windows. I thought, why God didn't say door? The window is enough. If the small little window God can open for a financial blessing or spiritual blessing or health, you will not have room to store it. Read the verse 11.
And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now what he's trying to say, when you give it to the Lord, I will fight your enemy. Sickness, disease, pain, suffering, financial crisis, anything comes along. He said, I'll fight for you. We know how to hire anybody to protect us. God says in us, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, he says, once you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, he sends the angels to minister to you. So we have angels all around us, protecting us. We don't have to worry about enemy or sickness or disease or problem. The word of God says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. When we giving our treasures to God and our heart is belong to God, he said, hey, don't worry, I'll fight for you. I will send the angels. They will take care of you. John chapter 10 verse 10, what is it? He says, enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. What does it mean? Christian people should live in more abundance. We don't have to live like beggar and sick and afflicted and financial crisis and all the time. God supplies our needs. God will protect you, your wife, your children, your house, and he would have said God will protect you. But he's specifically saying your daughter, your son, your house, your wife, everything God will protect. God will protect you. How about my wife? He will protect you. How about my children? He will protect them. How about my daughter? He will protect. How about my house? This is what the dumb people think. But when God protects you, he will protect everything what you have. Other day, one lady called and she said she has a neck pain. She says, oh, I went to several places and all the doctors and everything. I don't know what's wrong with me. But she said, I didn't call you for me. I'm telling my husband has a worse problem than me. So I said, ma'am, you need a healing first. So then you can tell your husband what God has done. And so I said, I'm going to pray for you. Put your hand on your neck. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. And I said, now take your hands off and do whatever you are not able to do. My neck is healed. How much time it took? Split second. I said, now you have a testimony. Call your husband and tell him what God has done for you. So the point I'm making, God is not going to heal you, but he will heal your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, your children, and he will protect your house. That's the promise. Okay, let's go further. Go to Nehemiah, we are finishing. 15, start 15.
And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us.
Our God will fight for us. They are all enemies were organizing And they said, we are going to come with our army. We are going to come silently. You will not notice. And we will come and destroy you and kill you. And you will stop your work. And when these people start praising God and praying, and then they learn, enemy learn, these people had so many weapons. They are having weapon in their hand, and they are have a watchman there. They are guarding themselves. It is difficult for us to go and attack them, and they stop. The enemy stop attacking or even thinking to attack. How it happened? They start praying. They gave it to the Lord, and they prayed, and they were alert. They said, if you have the armor of God, enemy has no power to destroy you. We have to have full armor of God. So these people have full armor of God. They are taking care of themselves. They said, now let the enemy come. We already gave it to the Lord, and now we are going to fight. Enemy got the message. They did not come. Okay, let's read the verse 21.
So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and to labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing.
See, these people were so dedicated. We want to finish this war. No matter sleep or no sleep. Some people say, you watch, be guard. Some people have trumpet. If some enemy comes, give the sound of trumpet. We will come and help you. They made all the arrangement that the enemy cannot deceive them. And they start working so hard. All these feeble-minded, and somebody says, we cannot do this, that. But these people got so much faith. Our God is able to defeat our enemy. Let's work together. And they said, you know what? Our body is getting dirty, our clothes is getting... Don't you worry. Work. And they said, only we gave our clothes, we know, so much dirty, and they have to wash. That's the time we gave our clothes to wash. But we kept on working. Somebody said, oh no, they worked from morning until evening, and then they washed their clothes. I said, you don't know when the army goes to fighting? And ask the army people, do you take a bath every morning and evening? No! They might be fighting for weeks or two, and they don't get a chance to change their clothes. And they don't get sick. God protects them. The point I'm making, if your mind is sold out to God, then you don't have to worry. You know, the disciple of Jesus Christ, they were eating the food without washing their hands, and the enemy said, hey, you people are not washing hands when they eat. And Jesus said, but you washed outside the pot, inside all the dirt. But point I'm making, if anything you eat, it digests. But now people are saying, wash your hands 7 times a day. And some child was so worried, washing his hand, and his hands got blisters. The point I'm making, I'm not saying don't wash your hands. You wash your hands, you clean your hands, but the time will come. You may not have time to take a bath. You may not have time to change your clothes. You know how time to do anything, and if you're busy, God will protect that time. Shall we rise? Our God is a good God. He watches over us. Don't listen to all this fearful tactic and get scared. These people did everything possible. Armors, watching, not sleeping, and guards and everything. But God came to rescue them. We don't have to be lazy. We want to be in the Lord, and God will protect us. All the sickness and disease, what you have, give it to the Lord. And He will take care of it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. You are a great God. You are a great physician. You are going to touch Your people. You are going to heal Your people. They heard the bad news from the doctor. But we have good news. Our Jesus Christ is greater than any doctor ever lived in this world. Lord Jesus, touch your people, heal your people, supply their needs, and let them know that God has started a good work and He's going to complete it. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.